welcome to CrimeWire, an elite team of veteran investigation experts, along with noted crime consultants and attorneys, often featured on popular news programs for families of violent crime to find answers and seek justice. The CrimeWire team, Denny Griffin, retired investigator and author, and Susan Murphy Milano, violence expert and author, are there, on top of the crime, at the top of their game. CrimeWire is the place for information, news, safety, and most importantly, justice. Our interactive website is www.crimewiresite.com. You can call in anytime during the show. The number is 646-478-0982. And remember, you can participate in tonight's show simply by going to the live interactive chat room here on Blog Talk Radio. If you are a friend or family member who would like to send the CrimeWire team information on an unsolved or suspicious death case, or want to be considered for a segment on a case for a future show, email us at thecrimewire@gmail.com. As you know, my friend and co-host Susan Murphy Milano has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and will be off for the next several weeks while she undergoes treatment. You can show your support for Susan and keep up with her progress by visiting her site at www.conqueringcancer.me. Tonight is the first of two shows about bullying. Joining me for both episodes will be Gracie Fulljames, creator of the Facebook page Busting the Bullies. Welcome to CrimeWire, Gracie.
Well, thank you, Denny, and I want to say hello to all my friends out there on my page, and those will hopefully join us soon. And we appreciate
okay.
you having us on.
Well, it's entirely my pleasure. And before we get started, Gracie, before we talk a little bit about your experience and your bullying site, I just want to read something I found on the Internet. This is from the, I'm going to call it OLWEUS, O-L-W-E-U-S. Bullying Prevention Program provides this commonly accepted definition for bullying. Quote, a person is bullied when he or she is exposed repeatedly and over time to negative actions on the part of one or more other persons, and he or she has difficulty defending himself or herself. The definition includes these components. One, bullying is aggressive behavior that involves unwanted negative actions. Two, bullying involves a pattern of behavior repeated over time. And three, bullying involves an imbalance of power or strength. According to OLWEUS, bullying can take on many forms, including verbal bullying through social exclusion or isolation, physical bullying through lies and false rumors, having money or other things taken by students who bully, being threatened or forced to do things by students who bully, racial bullying, sexual bullying, and cyberbullying via cell phone or internet. Bullying is a serious problem today and seems to be getting worse. The harm caused by bullying isn't limited to emotional and sometimes physical trauma, however. In severe cases, it can result in the victim taking his or her own life. So, Gracie, tell us a little bit about your background and experience with bullying and about the website you started, or the page, I should say, you created on Facebook.
Sure, Denny. Actually, the page I started, Busting the Bullies, on Facebook came after my cousin Susie passed away this March. She was 59 years – I'm sorry, no, she wasn't. She was 55 years old, and I was angry. Susan had been victim of bullying since kindergarten. So all of her education was one big bully party for the other kids, it seemed. She was spit on. She was pushed into lockers. She was tripped. Even her name, Sue, they would pronounce Suey like a pig. That caused her to spell her name S-U for the rest of her life. Her life took a turn. She unfortunately got into drugs and all of that. Before her death, she had found love with a new man. She had changed her life around, and she had taken in kids who were, products of bad homes, drugs and all that. She, in other words, her life had just finally seen some happiness. So when she died, I thought about what all she had been through and never really been able to enjoy her life at all. And I started this site. I received a yearbook in the mail soon after her death. One of my classmates sent it to me, and it's funny how I reacted to it. I kind of let it sit there unopened all day, and I wasn't sure I was going to open it, but I finally did, and a whole range of emotions took me by surprise. There were the tormentors on the page, and I have to add that Susan started in kindergarten through sixth grade back then, and this was in Connecticut, and I was in the same town but in a different elementary school. When you went to junior high or middle school, we both ended up in the same school. She was a year behind me. Now, because I had the same last name, her tormentors found a new victim in me. I was not attacked physically like she was, but I found myself now, for the first time in my life, a victim of a bully. I was well-liked before that. I had friends. Now I was hiding in hallways. I was, you know, looking down the stairwells to make sure they weren't there to humiliate me, with words usually. Just, you know, stupid things, but enough to embarrass a young lady, you know, in front of her friends. Pretty soon my friends were all sort of backing away. They didn't want to be teased as well. It just got outrageous, and that made me angry. So when I saw this yearbook, it gave me a lot of mixed emotions. I'm looking in there at the people having fun in the clubs, at the dances that I never went to, the clubs I didn't belong to because all the popular kids were in there, and either I would be met with total silence or snickered or at or whatever. Same with going to sports events and all of that. So I'm missing out on all of that because my cousin was Sue. It just really got to me, I guess, when I looked at the picture of her class picture and they have all the kids named. And there's Sue on the left, and they left her name out. And that really did it for me. I was so angry and so upset. I just started crying. I couldn't believe it. Just insult to injury. So that's how it all started. And I now have about 128 people. It's not an awful lot, but it's more than I thought we would get on that site. And we've gotten many stories of people who suddenly, you know, said, oh, yeah, me too, and were telling us stories. And it's not all physical, of course. It's mental, like I had. There was one girl who wrote and said she wasn't sure if this counts as bullying, but it was humiliating to her that she had a crush on one of the cool guys at school, and out of the clear blue sky one night, he called her. Well, she said they were talking a while, and she was all excited that, you know, he actually asked her out. And while she was ready to give a response, she heard a bunch of people in the background breaking up laughing, and he hung up. Now, I mean, things like that as well. And, you know, the next day at school, she was teased for that and humiliated even more. So that's my experience. That's why I started this page.
Now, through the web page, the web and Facebook, have you met any of the people who joined? You said you have about 128. Are any of those people you knew from school? Are they actually acquaintances of yours?
Yeah, actually, not all of them, but a couple of them. I would say about a dozen or so. And it's what gets me is it's funny. A lot of them will say, well, I went to school with Sue. I don't remember that happening to her. And I know she remembers, you know, well, she's gone now. But it's funny because sometimes the bullying is done where other people don't notice it. It could be a look. It could be a word in her ear as she passes by. It could be someone, you know, putting something in her food. It could be just very, people wouldn't notice. However, I know she was tormented on the bus, and some people say they remember it vividly, and others say they don't remember it at all. It's interesting to hear the different views. Others would say to me, oh, I didn't know you were, bullied. Well, no, they didn't. I was too embarrassed. I was hiding out all the time, basically. But
you,
others
Gracie,
just joined the, you know. Go ahead.
Regarding, the bullying that of you and Sue both. Now, you said you were in different elementary schools, and then you got involved firsthand when you went to the next level. But
right.
Had you heard, did you know that Sue was undergoing this type of bullying when you were in different elementary schools?
No, I didn't. That's the thing. I knew that she was, I want to call it, sweetly goofy, I'd like to call it. She was a big girl. She wasn't fat as much as just large, tall for her age and large. And she wanted friends so badly that she would be kind of goofy and silly. And I guess socially she just didn't know how, because she was teased so much. She would try all different ways to make friends, always afraid of rejection. And I knew that she was like that, but I didn't know the extent of it until she got to middle school. And then, like I like to say, all hell broke loose. That's when, my life became a nightmare. Her life, I'm sure, became a bigger nightmare, because once you enter middle school, then you have, those three or four years of pure hell in that age group.
And at what point, like when Sue or you got to high school, did it end, or how long did this last for?
Well, Sue went on through high school, and it lasted all through high school for her. I ended up going to a private school. I just said enough is enough, and I ended up writing a letter to a nearby private school, telling them I was interested in coming. I didn't mention the bullying. I just said I'm serious about my education and blah, blah, blah. I was being late for classes. I couldn't concentrate in classes because of what was going on, and that was the best move in the world for me. I went there, and it was like I could breathe again. It was like a new start for me. I was well-liked. I had many friends in high school. It was like it never happened. So that was a good thing for me. Unfortunately, Sue went on through the high school, and her parents were basically, saying to her, ignore it, not understanding, the severity of it. And I think a lot back then, a lot of the parents in the 60s were like that, everybody goes through this, toughen up, and not realizing the effects it really does have on the victim. And I get that, why not forget it? Well, you can't. It made me lose a lot of self-worth. It took me a long time to get back to where I am today.
And let me ask you this, Gracie. Now, probably in Sue's case more, because she suffered through this for a longer period. Was it like always the same kids? I assume the same kids she was in middle school or with the elementary school, they also went
right.
Of the same grade. So did it stay pretty much the same crew or same gang or same people that were abusing her?
Yeah, that's interesting you say that. It's funny, these were twin boys these were boys, not girls, that were tormenting her. And they were merciless. One of them in particular was worse than the other, and I don't want to give names, but they both are dead now. They died of cancer early, I understand, these boys. But they were the ones that tormented her, and the other people would just stand around, and, there was little you could do because you didn't want to become their victim. And I understood that their home life, the bullies, was terrible, that the parents were always drunk and fighting, and there was hitting going on and all of that, and I don't think that excuses them still from what they did, because a lot of the victims went through similar things that they didn't know about.
Let me interrupt you just a minute, Gracie. Kim, do we have a caller?
Yes. Maddie is on the line.
Oh great. Gracie, I believe you're acquainted with Maddie. Do you want to introduce her for us, just the first name?
Sure. And this is Maddie from Las Vegas, and she's a 14-year-old young lady. and she'd like to let us know her experiences. And I think it'll give us a good perspective right now in today's age with you have cyberbullying and sexual bullying and all that that we didn't have back in the 60s. So I'm curious to hear what Maddie has to say. So Maddie, hello.
Hi.
Oh, that sweet little voice. We're so happy you came on. And if you'd like to, if you don't mind, you could tell us what's going on at your school.
All right. Well,
Is it you in particular that is being bullied, or is it some friends of yours or people you have watched being bullied by a certain group of people?
It was just me. It was by this one girl who like spread this entire thing. And
so she was spreading rumors about you?
No,
That's okay. Yeah. Take your time.
She was mean to me. She got other kids to stop talking to me. And
so a lot of isolation. Would you have to sit alone at lunch and that type of thing?
No, I still had people to talk to because they had problems with her too. So we were all in this little group.
Well, that's good that you had a support group.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And what, if you don't mind me asking, what types of things would she be saying or doing, and would some of the kids believe her?
She told a few of my friends that I had called them bad names, that I would never ever say it at people ever. And she would make up things about me and say them to some of my closest friends to get them to stop talking to me.
And why do you think she did that? Why did she target you, do you think?
Probably because I wasn't like her, because that's really the kind of person she is.
Uh-huh. You think she might be not so happy at home, or at something that might be making her angry to pick on someone else?
I don't think so, because we were friends before she started being mean.
Hmm. Well, does your school have any kind of bullying program or anyone you can talk to when things like that happen?
We have a whole thing at school about we have like bullying shows. Like they had people come to the school and talk to us about bullying, and they would show videos, and we kind of have something to stop bullying. I mean, it doesn't do a lot, because people still do things. Like
the ones who are listening are not the bullies, then. It's the other people, so they're not paying attention to the message that they're giving.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question, Maddie? First of all, thanks for coming on the program. Does your school have a policy that they tell the students that if you are being bullied, you should go to the office and report it, or go to a specific teacher and report it? Is there a procedure that they want the students to follow if they experience bullying? Or do they just show the videos and so forth and try to educate the students?
They do have a sort of procedure where you can go up to the main office and you take an incident form and you fill out what happened, who was involved, when did this happen, and then you give it to the people, and then they have meetings with all the people who were involved, and then depending on who was the bad guy in the situation, they could get in serious trouble for bullying.
Now, did you do that in your case, or did you take that step as far as your bullying case goes?
Eventually, I went to the office and told them everything.
And what happened? Did they follow through like you expected? Did they do anything? Did it get any better?
Kind of. They made us sign a contract with this it's kind of like a school restraining order, kind of.
Oh,
and,
that's cool.
Yeah, you can't talk to them. You can't talk about them. And if the person comes in with evidence that you tried socializing with them, and if they're just things like that, they can take it up to the office, and then they will call you in and talk to you about it.
So if a person, if you file a complaint or a student files a complaint with the office, and they have one of these, what we're calling a contract or a restraining order type document, and then if the person violates that order, that agreement, the student who violates it then can be subject to some type of disciplinary action?
Yes. The first time I believe they break it is suspension. And then, the first time is a parent-teacher conference sort of thing. And then the second time is suspension. And then I think the third is expulsion.
Now, so they not only have the policy, but is it your opinion that they enforce it pretty well, that they really mean it?
I personally don't think so, because I know people who have been bullied and who have done the contract thing, who have talked to the teachers about it, and really all they do is make you sign that contract, and if I believe that they don't do really enough to get rid of, for say, the bullying in the school.
Now, Maddie, I just say one more question.
Sure.
Are your parents, Maddie, aware of the situation?
Oh, yeah. They were involved in it.
And are they satisfied with the way the school has handled it so far?
I don't think so, but it ended, so.
So it's over with, hopefully. I'm sorry, Gracie, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to ask Maddie, because she said she, even though all of these steps are being taken, this was my point too, is like I said before, that some bullies are so subtle about it that there's no way. Like, I don't know about you, Maddie, but I know in junior high when my son was going to school, I was doing the yearbook then, and I would watch the girls go behind other girls and step on the heels. Do they do that at your school? Just to little things, just to annoy them or let them know that they're in charge or they're being bullied. So they would like walk real close to them in the hall and just step on their heels, which really hurts when you're walking. Or it could be just a quick word as passing you in the hall, or a little shove, or a little, these little things that you know are going on, and it's so hard to go to the principal each time and said, oh, she did this, she did that, like you're tattling every minute, but it builds up. Do you worry about retaliation from their friends if you go and, make a complaint? Is that part of the problem, or Anything like that?
I'm not, like, I wasn't really worried about retaliation from her friends. I was more worried about what she would do, because at the point, she was doing anything really that she could to just bother me.
Wow. And she was a friend of yours before, you said?
Yes, she was. She was a good friend of mine.
Okay. Wow, so there had to be a trigger point, something that, and usually it's either jealousy or some perceived thing you may have said, or she took something wrong, or, you know, there could be so many reasons, but there's no excuse for it at all, absolutely. And I'm sure your parents are really proud of you for sticking up for yourself, because that's exactly what people need to do, is not put up with it, absolutely not. And back in my day, I'm an old lady, back in my day, we didn't have that kind of support from the parents. Like I said, my mother would have said, although I didn't tell my mother or father this was happening because I was too embarrassed. I felt like a lesser person because they looked at me like this, you know, shining star, and here I was feeling like a worthless, you know, nobody. And I couldn't tell anyone. So I wish I had known, or I could do what you're doing today, you know, to have fixed it, have some solution to it, and or at least feel like you're doing something about it, some kind of power. And that's what we need to do, is empower the victim. And I think that's what you've done, and I think that's great. Denny,
absolutely,
do you have
Maddie. Listen, Maddie.
I don't think we heard you.
Oh, I was going to ask Maddie, overall, now she had her bullying experience. Do you know if overall in the school, is there a lot of bullying, or is it fairly isolated?
As far as I know, there isn't a lot of bullying. I've heard of about, I think, one or two stories of bullying, and that's really all I know of.
So you haven't seen any types of, I guess, fights or things like that?
Not really, no.
Well, that's good. But the mental thing of... Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if Maddie could tell us about the size of the school, about the number of students, if she knows.
There were probably maybe 300, 400 kids in the school.
Okay.
Well,
Maddie,
that's
listen, I really appreciate your coming on tonight. It takes some courage to, you know, do what you did at school by confronting the problem, which is a great thing. And also thank you for being willing to talk to us tonight about it and tell us about what's going on currently, at least in your school.
Yes, thank you so much, Maddie. We so appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Okay.
Thanks, Maddie. Good
Bye-bye.
Night and good luck.
Well, thank you.
Gracie, before we go to the next caller, I just wanted to get your thoughts on this. Maddie said that the school does have a bullying policy, and apparently they do some educational stuff with the,
right,
you know, the videos and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
She is not apparently 100% sure whether some of it is, you know, they're kind of paying it lip service, or if they're really aggressively taking action. And what always concerns me when you have a subject now that's such as bullying that's really hitting the education, well, it's all over, but certainly the school bullying gets a lot of more attention than it ever did. And I'm wondering how many schools might feel under pressure to do something, so they put a procedure in place but don't really have their heart in it. You know what I'm saying? Do you think that can happen?
Oh, sure, yeah. Oh, yeah, I think so for sure. It's funny, I had dinner last night just by chance. I just met this gentleman at dinner who is a vice principal at a junior high school, and we were talking about bullying. And they do put the procedure. I mean, he said they are no-nonsense and do not tolerate it. But there are some schools, I'm sure, that just put it up there. In fact, I know a teacher here in Las Vegas. Believe she teaches fifth grade, and it is rampant there, and no one does a thing about it. They just try to sweep it under the rug. And it drives her insane because as a teacher, she can't do anything about it if the administration isn't going to carry out their plans. But one way was the vice principal was telling me that they find the bullies. They by word of mouth, they find out who they are. You just know it. You find them in the school, and certain names keep coming up. And what they do is they take the bullies under their wing, and they educate them, and they confront them. It's almost like an intervention, and he said it works. Another way, more drastic, of course, is they will suspend a student. And I asked him if that just gets them madder when they come back, and he said absolutely not. No retaliation from friends because they don't want to get suspended because they know they're serious now. So there's, you know, some schools that, you know, are great with it, and others have that same kind of thinking, like toughen up, it happens everywhere. And my fear is, think of things like Columbine and all that, and those are rare, but they do happen. And these are kids that are constantly, constantly tormented, and I'm not saying that's an excuse, but these are kids that are already evidently, sick in the head somehow, I mean, to actually do something like that. But you don't know who you're fooling with. You don't know who you're picking on. You know, it's a dangerous thing. It really is. And then you have children committing suicide over it, and those, of course, are the most extreme cases of bullying. And then you have bullying that takes away self-esteem, self-worth. And meanwhile, the bullies themselves are actually, have low self-esteem. So it's kind of ironic. It's an interesting subject. I think bullying is going to be around for life. It goes on in the office. It goes on, you know, everywhere. It's just, I think, getting the victims to protect themselves or educated is the only way to stop this.
Yes, I will talk more about that in a minute, but I think, Kim, do we have another caller?
Yes, Denny, we do. John is calling in, and John, welcome to CrimeWire.
Hi.
Hi, John, welcome.
Hello.
Can you tell us a little bit about, now I know your story a little bit. I know when you were young you had very bad extreme asthma, which prevented you from doing a lot of things. Can you tell us what happened to you, your experience at school?
Okay. When I was in elementary school, I had a lot of friends.
Before you go on, I'm sorry. I just want to say right now, your age is?
I'm 28.
28, okay, go ahead,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
And at this time, it was probably 1996. But when I was younger, I come from a very strong family, so my time at home was great. We'd have a lot of family parties. We have a lot of relatives, all our families in one place, so life at home was great. And when I was in elementary school, I would get on the bus and go to school, and I had a lot of friends, and during recess, we, you know, played together. They came over to my house and played together. But as they started to get older, they started to change. So by middle school, it seemed like people were changing, and they were less tolerant of change at the same time.
Right. Probably so, that age, yeah.
I think that's common, but...
Yeah.
There were a few people that were my best friends that just kind of started turning on me. Mm-hmm. So during middle school, that started happening. And by high school, there was a big change. So the people that used to be my friends kind of were, they were very different. And I went to a Catholic school, and it was a small school, and it was fairly expensive to go to, so there was more, less of diversity, I would say. Hmm. And the thing that was ironic to me was that it's Catholic school, we had religion class, we went to mass, we went to religious retreats, but these people were the absolute opposite of what we're supposed to be practicing. And I would just constantly get things like, you know, making fun of my name, John Girardi, and, you know, like constantly looking at me, laughing, trying to get a reaction out of me. I would usually just ignore it, but it was daily. So
how did that make you feel when they were doing those things?
It didn't devastate me, or it was just annoying because I wanted to be friendly, and I just wanted to be friends with everybody, but they wouldn't let me, and they would just always try to find something to upset me. So it was kind of like, well, I'm not going to make any friends here because nobody wants to even, like, I would go into class and they would just say, I'd be like, hi, and they'd just like, F you. And I was like, wow, thanks. And, you know, like in the gym locker, I actually used to love gym and like dodgeball and wiffle ball, but I would go in there and they would just like group together and just like start making fun of me for no reason. And,
well, you had mentioned that you had asthma, so it made it so you couldn't do sports, and
yeah,
you were out
so,
of school, I'm sure, a lot. And
so, yeah, my high school, the asthma pretty much was under control. So I used to do, like, kung fu, and so I was never afraid of anybody because I've been doing kung fu for 4 years with a 10th degree black belt.
Uh-huh.
So I wasn't afraid of anybody bullying me. It was more just, like, the verbal teasing and annoying, just constantly trying to get a reaction. And just the people that were my friends that had turned on me. So I would go to like the cafeteria for lunch, and where would I sit? There's a table of people that used to be my friends. I would go to sit there. They had changed a lot. So their interests were mostly like wrestling, sports, nothing. Nothing I was really interested in, like none of the same TV shows I watched or anything like that. So when I would try to bring something up, they would just kind of like not say anything and then continue with their conversation. So it ended up with me being quiet a lot. I didn't really want to be, but there wasn't really anything I could say. And,
that's the isolation we were talking about.
Yeah.
Too.
So I was like, the other tables I had to sit with were either like extreme geeks that were into like Marilyn Manson and all this weird stuff, or they were jocks that were only into sports and just, like, fighting and stuff. So it was kind of hard with me being into technical interests and aviation and stuff like that to just carry on the conversation. And I'm very open and friendly, so I don't mind anybody. So even if you don't have the same interests, I wouldn't mind talking, but they were just not either ignoring me or they were just, like, very unpleasant.
Yeah.
So it was hard
because every
time I would go into school, it would be in class. The teachers loved me because I was good at school. But then trying to find somebody to talk to was hard because I'd go to, like, there'd be a group of people just in class, just constantly trying to make fun of me. And then I would go to lunch and there's nobody to talk to there. And then I would go home and it was great at home. So I couldn't wait to go home.
That's wonderful. You had such a great home life. I think that's so important. I really do. And again, the isolation is the horrible part of it, I think. You deserve to have a good education and that they would take that away from you.
And I know
not
other
the education,
people
but the whole experience of it.
Yeah, I know other people at the time that would go to school and they would have a great time at school. And I was like, what school do you go to? And they said, it's a public school. So my time there was just a bad experience. And even when I would get on the bus, I was one of the last stops. So I'd go to get on the bus, and there might be like 3 seats on the whole bus. And anyone I'd go to sit down in, they would say, the seat's taken, or you can't sit here, or something like that. And I just didn't understand it because I didn't have any desire to treat people that way. So I didn't understand why somebody would actually want to. So I finally just had to either just sit there anyways or, like, just ask somebody, like, can I just please sit next to you? But it was a constant struggle.
Hey, John?
Yeah?
Yeah, my name is Denny Griffin. I want to thank you for being on the show with us tonight. I appreciate it. And I got a couple of questions if you're open to them.
Sure.
The guys, the former friends who started bullying you, were you their primary target, or did they have other people too they pulled the same stuff on?
Well, they actually, what I found interesting was they weren't very nice to each other. So I. I could only guess how what they were going through or how happy they really were, but they actually would fight with each other, but they would kind of pick on me more.
Okay, and at that time in the school you were in, were they aware of bullying? What the term we use now is bullying, or was that, you said it was probably 96-ish?
Back then, they didn't really do anything about it.
Okay, but did any of the teachers notice what was going on, or did any of the teachers intervene at all, or were they kind of oblivious to it?
In that school, somebody actually came up to me and punched me in the back of the head in the middle of the class, and I turned around and I said, "Is that all you got?"
Whoa, good for you.
I didn't put up with it. Like, if they pushed me too far, but I wouldn't, like, react to it. Like, if they just started calling me names, I wouldn't just react to it. I just say, this is ridiculous. But this one time, somebody punched me in the back of my head very hard. It actually, like, made me dizzy for a minute. But she just sat back down. The teacher just kept teaching. I don't know if they didn't see it, but they didn't really do much about it.
Do you ever see any of these former bullies since you're an adult, since you've been out of school? Do you ever bump into these guys?
Actually, I've run into one or two of them, and they're very nice now.
So the bullying stopped with school, right? Well, I mean, it didn't continue now that
it's
when. Let's go. And you said that you guys had been friends at one point, and then and things changed. Did you ever actually figure out what happened? What the turning point was that would cause them to go the other way with you, and start pulling what they pulled?
Well, actually, this experience was isolated to this one high school that I was there the first 2 years. And I actually said the third year that I really just wanted to go to a different school because there was nobody there that I could, nobody there I could be friends with. And it was just every day I would go there and I had to have to put up with the same thing. So it cost a good deal of money too. So I said, I asked my dad if I could look at, like, some of the public schools because somebody I knew went to a public school and actually said it was fine. And I started looking at, like, the local public school, but they actually had opened a new school, a magnet school, called Academy of Information Technology. And since I was into technology and computers and all that kind of thing, I actually really wanted to go there. So I actually ended up going there my third year, and it was a public school, so there was a broad range of people there of all different, like, ethnic groups and all different cultures and upbringings. And I actually found when I went there, the first day I made four friends that were my best friends, and we actually still get together today.
That's great.
That first day I met them, and then my experience there, the whole time I was there, was I didn't have anybody bullying me. There were students that stood out that we get in fights, and there were students that were in gangs and things like that. But as long as I respected them, they respected me. I didn't actually have any problem.
So it was just that one school was where the where you had the issue.
Yeah, and it was the first school was a smaller school, and they had it cost a lot of money to get into, and it was a specific group of people. It wasn't as diverse, and I don't know if it was lack of exposure to the world for them, or sheltered upbringing, or being spoiled at home, but. As soon as I went to the public school, it was a very different experience.
Do you happen to have any maybe nephews or nieces or in the school system today that you talk with, that ever mention anything about what it's like today for them in school?
I actually haven't talked much about school to them, but I know that I think that one of them was bullied, but I don't know how they actually handle it. I do know that now I actually went back to my old school, excuse me, and they actually have cameras up everywhere now, and it's a lot different than when I was at school. They have a lot more control, and they listen to input a lot more from parents.
They have cameras, you said?
Yeah. This is my... like my middle school, so when the kids go out to recess, there's actually like a camera. So, like,
interesting.
Yeah, like if anybody tries to do anything, it's all like on film.
It's documented. Wow, that's actually I think a great idea. I'm sure some people say, "Oh, Big Brother" and all that, but I think that's a great idea. I really do. Do you wish that? Well, in your case, though, John, I think back then. The cameras wouldn't have helped because you're not hearing the words and seeing the little things. But if there were a major fight, I suppose you would see it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you're very insightful.
It was funny because...
John,
I'm sorry?
I just wanted to say I really appreciate your coming on with us tonight because... you know, I fortunately was never bullied, so I don't have the experience with it, but it's obviously becoming a major problem, in some cases even ending in death, you know, the real severe cases. And it's really good to be able, for people like me who haven't experienced it, fortunately, to be able to listen to people who have and get a little feel for what it's like to be the victim of a bully or bullies. So I really want to thank you for agreeing to come on and talk with us tonight.
Yeah, and it's something that occurs I think from what I've seen, it's something that occurs in nature. If you watch any documentaries, you'll see that even primates will engage in this kind of behavior. They'll bully each other, and they'll continue until the other ape will either he'll fight back or he'll just submit. And I think that it's something that's just embedded deep within us that comes out. And at that age, you don't realize it. And you're still developing your, like, morality. So you might not realize what you're doing. but it's a problem because people that do this in school end up going on to, a lot of times they go on to positions of power like management or law enforcement. And then at that point, they want to, you know, sometimes they want to get back at the way the world treated them.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's insightful.
Very good point.
That is.
Yes.
John, thank you so much for coming on tonight. I'm glad you had a strong family. You know, to keep you going. Some people aren't as fortunate, some of the victims, but you were very fortunate in that way. So you, thank
okay,
you
John,
again.
Okay, John, you still with us?
Yes.
Okay,
okay,
John, thanks again so much. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Good night now.
Good night.
And Denny?
Yes.
Jenny, this is Kim. We have another caller on the line who actually went to school with Gracie's, with Sue.
Oh, really? Wonderful.
So his name is Mark, so let's bring him on. Mark, welcome
Great.
To Crimeware.
Good evening. Hi, Grace. Hi, Denny.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you, Mark?
Joining us.
I'm doing quite well. You know, I went to the same elementary school with Sue, which was a different elementary school that Grace went to, but in the same town. And, you know, I'm 5 years younger than Sue would be, and, you know, bullying of Sue permeated the entire school. It was when we were in first grade, kids would say Susan Frasca's cooties no backs. We didn't know who Susan was, but, you know, it had become, it had just permeated the culture so much.
Wow.
And I find that there's got to be a way to guard the sort of the culture of a school. I'm just amazed that teachers didn't, or parents didn't get involved at that point, because it really had infiltrated, you know, everywhere. You know, quite differently, I went to a Quaker high school, a boarding school, where none of that, I can't imagine that any of that would have happened, because the culture just would not have tolerated it. But it really had permeated the entire school.
If I may say, just to give you a quick background, her father was about 12 years old when he came over from Italy, Sue's dad. And her mother was, I believe, Mormon, very, very religious Mormon. And they just took on the stance that, you know, ignore them. Don't let them get to you. And of course, Sue had to, you know, just kind of fend for herself. And again, maybe that was the 60s, the attitude of everyone. I wish I had a better answer of why they didn't do more, but that's all I can think of.
Well, and first of all, I'm a gay man, and throughout school, when we were growing up, you would never talk about it. Some kids might have, but that's something that you would hide back then. Nowadays, people are much more open about it, and that was something that I could, on some level, hide, but in some ways, Sue could not hide from those people. She's a bit overweight, but there was nothing really strange or odd about her. I mean, it's just that somebody picked up on her weakness or on her insecurity, and I think about how I may have been mean or rude to people in middle school, and you know, I was picking up on their weaknesses or insecurities for sure. And, you know, I think that there's got to be some way to teach kids that sometimes someone's insecurities are not, it's not a weakness necessarily. It's not something bad. I don't know how you solve it, but I, you know, we all have our insecurities.
Yeah. And, well, like you said, Sue, someone latched on, basically, to the weakness, and by her reaction, that was it, you know, and that was the beginning of her nightmare. And as you were saying, too, that today people are talking about it, like Maddie, who was on earlier, the 14-year-old, that she actually had the courage to take on the school, as they, you know, they said, come to us, and she did. And I think that's great. That's a start. But back then, it was a totally different world. It really was. But I appreciate your bringing that up. I really do. And the fact that it permeated the school, and by junior high, of course, her name was known to everyone who went to school with her.
And Grace, I think we knew people growing up who had rough family backgrounds. And sometimes those kids would take that insecurity to school with them. And, you know, they didn't feel like they were walking on solid ground. And unfortunately, those kids sometimes would become targets for bullying, or at least for impolite behavior, at the very least.
Right, exactly, exactly. And well, like I always say, you know, you were either, you could be poor, rich, smart, dumb. It didn't matter. If you had that insecurity, you know, they'd find it and latch on. Yeah.
And I think probably with middle school kids, especially, but into getting into high school, everybody's trying to find their place, you know. And I think of someone drowning, just pushing anyone who comes to save them down into the water, just to get up above it. They're not thinking. And I think a lot of kids, they're just so insecure to find their own place or to define themselves in some way positive, that sometimes they take it out on other kids. And unfortunately, nowadays with the internet and texting and, you know, Facebook and so on, kids can't really escape it. They can't go hide at home because they're going to get it at home with text messages and everything else.
Right, right.
But
let me just ask a question I'm curious about and just get your thoughts on this. Gracie, this is a question for both you and Mark. Do you think the parents of bullies are aware their kids are bullies? I mean, should they be able to sense that from the way the kids act around the house or something? Or are kids, you think, totally different once they're away from the parents and in the school where they can do things and the parents would have no clue, no reason to suspect that?
Mark,
I'll
get back to you first.
You know, I have no idea. When I was growing up, my parents could just say, "We're ashamed of you," and it would hit me like a ton of bricks. So, you know, if I did something that was like bullying behavior, if I exhibited bullying behavior, and my parents found out about it, you know, they would have a few things to say, but it would be very clear that was unacceptable. I just wonder if those bullies just don't have that kind of structure and level of expectation about how they treat or, you know, should not treat other kids, other people.
Yeah,
I
go back to the twins that started with Sue and ended with me. I understand they had a horrible home life. Now, in that case, I don't think the parents knew because they were too self-absorbed. But in other cases, I find it hard not to believe that a parent doesn't know. They must hear it from somebody, another parent, another, you know, somehow, or see some kind of behavior in the home. I may be wrong, but that's how I feel about it. But actually going to school and teasing, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if they would even imagine that. It's hard to say. It's a good question. It's just hard to say.
Well, we're going to get into that, I think, more next week when we talk to some of the teacher types and our special guest, Dr. Scott Bond. But it's an interesting point, and, you know, something that I've been thinking about since we planned to do this show is, you know, whether the parents of these kids who are causing the problems, you know, maybe should be aware of it and whether they're doing everything they could do also to stop it. Anyway, we're almost out of time. Mark, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. You have a good night. Grace, you have a great show. Thank you so much.
Oh, Mark, thank you.
You're welcome.
Really, we appreciate it. Thank you for coming on.
Bye for now.
Good night.
Good night, Mark. And thanks to the CrimeWire team, our director of research, Kim Colton, and public relations team at ImaginePublicity.com. Our next show will be on Tuesday, July 24th, and we will conclude our discussion of bullying. And Gracie Full James will be with me again, and we're also going to have Dr. Scott Bond on. Thank you for joining us tonight on CrimeWire. We always welcome your support and value you as our guests. If you'd like your case to be featured on CrimeWire, email us at thecrimewire@gmail.com. To hear a rebroadcast of tonight's show, go to www.crimewire.blogspot.com. Turn on the volume at your computer and the show will automatically play. Remember, we ensure that your voices will be heard when there is nowhere else to turn. Visit our website at www.crimewiresite.com. God bless from the CrimeWire team, Denny Griffin and Susan Murphy Milano. Thank you and good night. And thank you very much, Gracie, and thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.